So thank God for mothers. So please, today's Mother's Day message. Okay, I'll be preaching a message on mothers, and hopefully we'll be able to remember. Okay, for those who are ready, we'll just prepare. You can turn to your verses. We're referring to many verses today. We'll be talking about the responsibilities of a biblical mother. All right, we'll be looking at different examples of a biblical mother to highlight some key points from their lives. Okay. Okay, we're going to talk about the responsibilities of a biblical mother. All right, for those who are mothers, hopefully you take good note of this. For those who are not mothers yet, all right, use it as a way of preparing yourself for the eventuality. prepare yourself, okay? So for every young lady, every person who's not married, God has something for you, I'm sure, even through this. I want to begin by saying the very first priority in the sight of God for the mother is a home. The very first priority in the sight of God for the mother is a home. The reason why I say that, if one looks through the entire Bible, you will find a consistent trend of motherhood that is always in the home. In Proverbs 31 verse 27, the Bible says, "This mother, this biblical wife, this mother looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." The phrase "looketh well" means to observe, to behold, to pay attention to. Now, what does this mother pay attention to? She pays attention to the ways of her household. The word "ways" there refers to the walk, the procession, the behaviors within that family. You will find that the mothers are always very particular about things in the family. Okay, that's what the Bible says. The mother is to pay attention to the behavior and the life of the children. And it's not only the physical need, but also to the life, the behavior and outcome of every child. If you look at mothers like Eve, Noah's wife, Sarah, Hagar, Jochebed, Hannah, Ruth, etc. If you look at the context of each of these women and others, many, if not all of them, usually have their stories in the home. Does that make sense? If you look about Hannah, about how he brought up Samuel, Ruth, about how her interaction with the mother-in-law and the family, and often even Sarah, how interaction with her husband, and how the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Sarah called Abraham Lord. Okay? And this principle is brought over to the New Testament when the Apostle Paul actually brings it out as a biblical principle. Titus chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, you can read that. If you have there'll be many verses I'll be turning to. I'll read in verse 4 and 5, that they may teach the young woman, the elderly ladies, to teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the principle of the Old Testament, of the ladies in the Old Testament, oftentimes is within the family, in the home. And in the New Testament, Paul once again brings it out as a principle in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 5:4, if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. If you look at the Old and New Testaments, therefore, mothers, your primary place appears to be in the home. That's the primary place, all right, that God has given to you. Okay? That is why in Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. Our fathers, we just enjoy the good things. But a foolish son, a son that doesn't listen, a son that doesn't obey, a child that doesn't obey, becomes the heaviness of the mother. Now, of course, fathers who are concerned, you get heavy too. And in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's interesting, God, many times when the bad things happen, in the book of Proverbs, always the mother gets it. Brings the mother to shame, you know, a heaviness of the mother. And you know why? Because as fathers, we kind of, he's like that one, forget about him. You know, we all just chase that person out of our minds. You know, the mother cares so much that, you know, even during times when the child doesn't listen, the mother carries it on a daily basis. Okay? Now, so the mother's first priority, if you look at the scriptures, just a cursory look, a appears to be in the home. Okay, in the home. For a mother to look well to the ways of a home, there is the attention and willingness and wanting to do the things that will benefit the family. And if the priority of God for the mother is in the home, then it follows that the heart of the mother should be at home as well. I say that again. If the priority of God for the mother is the home, then it goes to show that the heart of the mother should be at home as well. Does that make sense? Okay. Susanna Wesley has 19 children, I think some of you, and apparently has a... I know her husband is... I can't remember if it's Charles or John. I always mix up the two. John Wesley, Charles Wesley. And oftentimes they're saying that the husband wasn't a very good husband because he's always away. And Susanna Wesley is a picture of a godly mother who single-handedly bring up 19 children for the glory of God. 19 children. Okay, some of us have problem with two or one. But for us, we struggle. But, you know, one day John Wesley apparently was watching Susanna teach one of her children, and try as she could not get this child to learn. Finally, after the 20th time of trying, the child finally got it. And John Wesley came over and told his voice his impatience and said, "Why do you spend so much time with someone who takes so long to learn? What's the use of trying anyway?" Susanna Wesley's reply is this: "If I had not tried the first 19 times, I would not be able to experience the joy of knowing the child has got it the 20th time." You know, sometimes mothers keep trying when everyone gives up. What are some characteristics, responsibilities of the biblical mother? I'm going to give you examples of different mothers in the Bible and highlight a characteristic from their life, all right? The first one is the mother in Proverbs 31. The first characteristic responsibility of the biblical mother is godliness. Godliness, okay? In Proverbs 31, verse 30, the Bible says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." The phrase "favor is deceitful" means, favor means outward deeds of kindness. When you do outward deeds of kindness and help, it's not a measure of a woman. Yes, a person who is a godly woman will do things to help others. But interestingly, favor is not something that we need to work for primarily based on this verse. He says outward deeds of kindness and help is not at all the measure of a woman. And number two, beauty is meaningless. Beauty is vain. That's what the Bible says. Beauty is vain. Okay? So all the advertisements about keeping slim, cosmetics, are meaningless. That's what the Bible actually says. Also, I don't care how I look, Lord, I come to church anyhow. That's not the point, okay? I think one thing as ladies, thank God, we need to keep ourselves well for our husbands and not for any other people. Just basically be neat, all right? But you know what? If we focus on that as something that is important, ladies, the Bible says beauty is vain. Vain. The word vain means no meaning, okay? And so, but the woman, the Bible says, that feareth the Lord, this refers to the inward beauty, the inner heart, the inner man. Is true godliness is heart work. Heart work. H-E-A-R-T, heart work. True godliness is heart work. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, I'll just read there. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God a great price." I'll just read the verses and let God's word speak for themselves, okay? Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord." And so in these verses, you find that God seems to put a very high premium, a very high priority on godliness within a lady. And it's interesting, how much time do we spend, ladies, on our outward versus how much time do we spend on our inward? Which is more important, the outward or the inward? Inward, right? So how much time do we actually spend on the inward versus the outward? Usually we spend more time on the outward, right? Than on the inward, right? You know? What does this... You realize in the years of old, the godly mothers and Christian mothers, spend much time in prayer. Susanna Wesley has a practice. You know, how do you find time to pray with 19 children? Some of us say, I got no time to pray. I got children here, fall down, they want to pull the person's hair, and they want to go to the toilet. I got no even time to change my mind in the day. I just got to keep doing. You know what Susanna Wesley does? I think some of you will know it. At the time Susanna Wesley prays, she will put a cloth over her. And every time she puts a cloth over her, the children are not to disturb her. That's a quiet time. As you teach the children, you are not to touch me, not to disturb me during the time of prayer. And you know, it's interesting. Susanna Wesley brought up 19 children for the glory of God. And it is interesting that so which means time. How many of you got 19 children? That's a lot of work. But you know what? You know, mothers like Susanna Wesley shows us that you can still do a good job bringing out your children in the fear of God. Mother's busyness is never a reason not to train your children to do right. And the first thing that God wants mothers to be is godly. Is to be godly. Because that is what God focuses on. Ladies who are planning to marry, all ladies from teens upwards, aim to be godly above all. Don't aim to follow the crowd. Don't aim to look like the world. Aim to be godly. The life of the individual will reflect the godliness of the individual. You see, godliness in the heart demonstrates itself in outward actions towards God and men, in life, in words, in thoughts, and finally in relationships. Ladies, above all, if you're not married right now, listen, you put all your effort on godliness. Because that in the sight of God is of great price. Mothers, train your daughters to be godly. All right, number one. The number two characteristic is faith. Moses' mother. What's Moses' mother's name? Jochebed. Okay. What's Moses' father's name? Okay, shush. I heard it. This side. What's Moses' father's name? Bible knowledge. Oi. Amram. Okay. we need to spot quiz. Hey, we need to be... We need our swords sharp all the time, all right? Jochebed and Amram, okay? It's not easy, all right? You actually need to read. It doesn't actually give you straight, but later on in other passages, it does talk about. All right, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, we're talking about faith now. Firstly, was godliness. Mothers, we need to be mothers of godliness, but we need also to be mothers of faith. Exodus chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. How do we see in Moses' action, or Moses' mother's action, her faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:23, a commentary on Exodus, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. How do we see the faith of Moses' mother? Number one, because Moses' mother actually went against the king's commandment. The king's commandment. Basically, actually disobeyed the authority of the land. All right? Because the first command of Pharaoh was to destroy all male children. But, you know, the mother had so much faith in God that they disregarded Pharaoh's instruction. That's one. Number two, another way we see the faith of Moses' mother was because if she didn't do what she did, her son will probably die. Every child to a mom is precious. Okay? To a mom is precious. I remember during the Japanese occupation, I wasn't there. Okay? I wasn't there. But I heard stories of how, you know, the Japanese will come and try to defile the young ladies and all that. And so, you know what the parents will do? We'll put the children, the girls especially, and he will rub the girls with, charcoal and make her as filthy as possible and stink and really make the girl really, really smelly. So that when the Japanese soldiers come, nice, yee, you know, Japanese, don't want. Does that make sense? So Japanese, during that time of the Japanese occupation, that's what they did to protect the younger ladies, to make them as stink as possible. So that they won't be defiled by the Japanese soldiers that came. So Moses' mother did the same. Okay? Because it was strong probability that the child would die. And so when they found that, you know, after 3 months, you can only conceal your baby for a while, you know, after the baby had to run around and shout and scream and laugh and all that kind of thing. After a while, you find that, I can't hide him anymore. And so what did the mother do? He knows that if you don't hide the child will be put to death. And so what did she do? Do you realize how much faith she had? Do you know what the mother had to, you know what the Moses' mother had to do to put the child on the river Nile? You know what kind of animals are inside? Crocodiles. The crocodiles inside the river Nile. And for Moses' mother to say, well, put my precious boy in there. You know what she's saying? You know, mother, sometimes when you seem, when the world tells you to do something, when the world actually gives instructions or when the world's philosophy is such that, oh, if you don't follow the things of this world, you get left behind. Do you have faith enough to tell God, God, I'm not going to worry about my daughter's future, about my son's future, that I'm going to just trust you and do the right thing. To do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing will mean that you may have to go against your own thinking and say, I need to do the right thing because it is right. And so Moses' mother did the weird thing. Put the baby in a crocodile-infested river Nile. But you know what? How she did it? She did it by faith. Just trusting God. Because of the third reason here. Because they saw that he was a proper child. Because the mother, by faith, saw that this child, God has a plan. Mothers, you need to realize that in every one of your children, although you cannot see it now, God has a plan. God has a plan. And therefore, we need to pray by faith, commit to God and do those things that God wants him to do. Okay? They probably believed that child was destined for some important work, and therefore, Moses' mother had faith in the living God. The reason why mothers sometimes are faithless, simply because they don't feed on God's word. They feed on more their own intellect. They feed on more what they think. And as a result, you realize many mothers have unfortunately sold their daughters and their sons to the world because their own philosophies seemingly are better than what God says. Mothers, don't follow the world. Don't follow the fashions of this world. It might be easy to do so, but it's always corruption. Mothers, we need to have faith. You need to look at every child and say, God, you've given me this child. I'm going to bring this child and ensure that he will serve God the rest of his life. If you have no plan for the growth and faith of your child, you need to start asking God for it. I was speaking to some people yesterday, and one of the things we want to do as a church is for the mothers and the fathers to come together and then to pray and then to ask God, Lord, how do we all collectively want to disciple our children? To have a list of standards that we believe is God's will, and then to help one another make sure that our children, when they grow up, will be discipled for the glory of God as a whole church. You know, it's come a time that we cannot just let our children go. Parents, if you're just following the world's curriculum for your children's development, you're not living by faith, you're living by sight and the things of this world. We need to see what God has. We need to have faith to bring up our children, not in our ambitions, but in God's will. I always tell my children, I tell them straight out, my desire is for you to serve God. And if you can do anything that has the principle of serving God, go. It's not what Papa wants, it's what God wants. That's so important. And mom and dad, it's not what you want, it's what God wants. And if your children do what you want, you'll find after a few years, say, I've been doing what my mom wants or dad wants. I actually didn't want it in the first place, but you know, okay, I'm supposed to be obedient, right? But you know what? Parents, you need to teach your children, or moms, you need to teach your children to seek God's will, not follow our personal will. Let's have faith, okay? Let's have faith. Number three, the faith of Moses, mother, the godliness of the mother in Proverbs 31. And then we need to be mothers of prayer. Matthew chapter 15 is quite a long passage. It's basically the Syrophoenician woman. Okay, Syrophoenician woman is, she had a daughter who was vexed with the devil. And she wanted Jesus to come to heal her. And what did she do? Oh, what did she do? I'll just read, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out same coast and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Matthew 15, 22. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came and worshipped, "Lord, help me." You know, these three words, "Lord, help me," is so amazing. Because as mothers, do you realize how much mothers go through to get help for their own children? Mothers go through a lot just to get help for their own children. Whether the children want something or if something happens, the mother will basically throw away her face to make sure she gets something of help to her family. But you know, in this situation, even before the Lord Jesus appears to ignore this woman, but I believe in his mind, he knew he wanted to teach us a lesson. And so, in the end, "Lord, help me," but Jesus didn't answer him. "It is not meet," Jesus said, "to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." You know, even at that time, Jesus brought her down, calling her a dog. But you know, even he said, "Lord, truth, but even dogs will eat from the master's table." You know, it came a time whereby this mother, this Syrophoenician woman, had only one desire in her heart. "I need Jesus to save my daughter. And I don't care if God will throw away my dignity to do that." Of course, not in a sinful manner, all right? But if you call me, I don't care, you call me names, just help my daughter. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ gave in. You know why? Because of her faith. But you know what? Faith, can I say this, mothers? If you say you have faith, faith will always lead to intercessory prayer. Genuine faith will always lead to intercessory prayer. We will not try to change situation ourselves. We will not try to change situation ourselves. But because we have faith, we are going to ask God to do it, because sometimes when we try to change situation ourselves, we sometimes think of the wrong way of doing it. Okay? Can you think of a mother who did it the wrong way? Remember Jacob's mother? Huh? Jacob's mother knew that the blessing was not for Jacob, it was for Esau, but he wanted Jacob to have because he had favorites. She did it the wrong way. Okay? And sometimes mothers, just because we want our daughters or our sons to do a certain thing, and we'll try to engineer situations to do that. Can I say this? If you try to do that, you might be interfering with what God has in the first place. We need to be very careful, mothers. We need to pray. Rather than planning, why don't you try to spend time praying? Say, "Lord, you know, this is something, but Lord, is it my plan or your plan? God, open doors and close them and help me to be sensitive to them." We need mothers who must never give up praying and praying for their children. You know, I just want to apply that also for Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers, keep praying for every child that you ever teach. Because you'll never know. You know, yesterday at a wedding, we met one of my children's Sunday school teachers. And you know, she was very encouraged that at least one of our children is wanting to do what God wants him to do. And she taught him when he was 3. You never know what God can do. You know, mothers, God has a plan for your children, but if you have no plan for your child to serve God, to do what God wants, you know what you're basically doing? Training up your child for the world. Mothers, we need to pray and pray. Jonathan Edwards had parents who were desperate for Jonathan Edwards to be saved, and you know, they were coming to the point of desperation, and the pastor actually encouraged them by saying, "There's a child of much prayer will never be lost." Amen? A child of much prayer will never be lost. You know, even as Sunday school teachers and even as mothers as a whole, realize one thing, a child of much prayer will never be lost. It could be just that we are not praying enough. Well, we need to pray for our mothers, we need to pray for our children. Okay, the intercessory prayer, mothers, we need to be godly, we need to have faith, and also we need to be a woman of prayer. Number four, we need to be a woman of obedience. Look at Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary is Jesus' own mother. And we all know what Mary had to go through. The Lord Jesus, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You will be the son of the highest." He said, "What? I have not known any man, you know. I'm physically pure and I'm not immoral. How am I supposed to conceive?" The Bible says in the book of Luke that the Holy Spirit will overshadow thee, and the thing that will be conceived with you is of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? Do you realize it's death penalty for the ladies at that time? To be with child but you're not married is death penalty. And so when the angel Gabriel came and told Mary, "You will be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ," I said, "What?" But you know what? It was a response in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was willing to obey regardless of the sacrifice that she will have to undergo. You know what she will have to do? She will have to try to explain to Joseph. Joseph wasn't convinced. In fact, Joseph wants to put her away. Societal, she had to face society. Now, do you realize why? Remember, Joseph didn't go back to his own home in Bethlehem? Do you know why Joseph and Mary went to a hotel? Why didn't he just go back to her own? Because he's supposed to go to the hometown, right? To register, right? But why didn't he just go back to his hometown? How is she going to explain to her parents? Well, not married, but how come Mary has a child already? That's why they are looking for an inn. Does that make sense? Can you see the logical link? Why Joseph had to look for an inn? But Mary had to suffer a lot of inconvenience. Perhaps society rejection. Do you realize when Mary actually, when she obeyed God to carry the child, she already realized the consequences that she would lose her husband. Possible? That was what Joseph wanted to put her away. It was her husband, the man she loved. But in obedience to God, listen carefully, mothers, she was willing to even lose the love of her own husband. Mothers, we need to be women of obedience, that we obey God. Of course, you need to obey your husband also, as long as he tells you the right thing to do. Okay? But Mary had to obey to the point of even giving up everything. Are you willing to obey the Lord, mothers? At all costs. At all costs. The next principle for the mother is Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. The principle is morality. The Bible says in Luke 1:6, "And they were both, mother and the father, Zacharias and Elizabeth, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Now this was a character of of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Okay? So Zacharias was walking in all the commandments of God and ordinances, blameless. But so was Elizabeth. That's what the Bible says. Because both were righteous before God. And they were walking in all the commandments. And in all the commandments, they were blameless. In other words, they were walking right with God. Okay? And so, what's this point? The Bible says, Proverbs 31 verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Elizabeth was a godly and virtuous lady who served the Lord fervently, even when she was not rewarded for her faithfulness. Because remember, she was without child. God closed her womb until that time when the angel came and told Zacharias, "Your wife will conceive." And they were old. Mothers, are you willing to obey God and be right and righteous and do the right thing and serve God fervently even though you don't get what you want? You know, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You know, I do good, I do this. You see, my family like that and all that. And we have... But you know what? We need mothers to be virtuous, do the right thing. Virtues are sadly lacking in many of our younger ladies today. You know, I shared you on Friday night when we saw this couple, less than 15 years old, making out in the bus stop there. Can you imagine if the mom or the dad saw? If I see that in my children now, firstly, I will punch that guy. Then I'll go to jail. Then I come home and deal with my daughter. No, mothers, we need to teach our daughters to be moral beings. That there is a God that can see from heaven, that there is no way to hide when you sin. And the only way that we're going to teach them is to be moral ourselves, to obey God ourselves. I know sometimes as mothers, it's very hard to teach your child. But you know what, younger daughters, when your mom teaches you by example and by word, it is your duty to obey her. Don't be the heartbreak of your mother. As moms try to live for God, daughters and sons, we need to give her the due respect that God commands us to give. Does that make sense? Okay? We need to bring up a generation of godly sons and daughters who look at moms and say, "Mom is a virtuous lady, I will follow mom." You know what, husbands, you need to be praying for your wife that they be virtuous as well. The next one, next characteristic is the example, a New Testament pattern for mothers. We need to be an example, mothers, to our children. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. What does that mean? It means, okay, this is referring to the older ladies, supposed to teach the younger ladies. The older ladies are supposed to be ladies who are set apart. In other words, the older ladies in the church ought to be a picture of godliness. When the younger ladies look, the way she dressed, you know, a bit awkward, but you know what? She carries herself very well, you know, and thank God for her. And you'll be, the younger ladies will look at the older ladies and will be encouraged to live for God. Because that's what the Bible says. It says that the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. In other words, when people look at your life, older ladies of the church, the younger people should be able to say, "I want to be like that lady. Who, she's such a godly lady. Every time I go to her, I get encouragement, you know. And her life of service, her life of compassion, her life of sacrifice is such an encouragement." And thank God we do have people like that. We have men like that too. But you know, aged ladies, not aged as in like 90s. The older ladies of the church, you need to be pictures of holiness. Can I ask you a question? You know, when looking at the Bible, we always have to ask this question: Lord, are you talking about me? Lord, am I a picture of holiness to someone else? When I come to church, do people look at me and say, "That is a picture of godliness, holiness"? If it's not, we need to work towards that, because that's what the Bible says, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, number one. Number two, not false accusers. Not false accusers. In other words, what we say, we don't judge people falsely. Okay? Not given to much wine. I don't think our ladies have problems with that. I hope not. No? Anything you want to confess now? Teachers of good things. You know what are good things? Good things are beneficial things. Things that will benefit someone. Not just benefit yourself. Teachers of good things. Okay? That they teach the young women to be sober. You know what sober means? What's another verse that you get the word sober from in the Bible? Sorry? Be sober, be vigilant. Why? In other words, this sober has to do with being spiritually sober. In other words, when you look at things, you look at it from a proper godly perspective. Okay? So, to be sober, in other words, when we teach our children to make decisions, mothers, they need to be soberly in the Word. Because I can tell you, there are many things of this world that seek to pull our children away. Be sober to love their husbands. Okay, for those who are married, okay? To love their children. Mothers, to love their children. To be discreet. The word discreet has to do with being meek, okay? Not just meek, but discreet means you kind of, you know, the shame face. Huh? When have you seen ladies who smile? Versus You know, in the past, when ladies laugh, they're kind of just quiet. And because they know, in the Old Testament, when ladies laugh, she's loud. Have you been in a coffee shop and you hear ladies laugh? Especially those, there's this lady yesterday, I was doing my work after the wedding. I went to the hospital, then Jairo had tuition. So I dropped him off, I did some work at the coffee shop. And I just had to tell you, this is amazing to me. There was this four men who drank, okay? He was drink, and this is in the side. But it talks about the worldliness of this world and the ladies that are involved. You know, usually the ladies are beer ladies, they get involved with them. But these four men was drinking, and obviously one of them was drunk. He was like this. So I just kind of didn't mind my own business. Right. After a while, this man began to talk. He woke up, he started talking loudly. He said, I'm probably drunk. What shocked me was this. About 8 o'clock, the beer lady came. And then I realized beside these four men was three crates of beer. One crate has 12 large-sized bottles. My eyes popped out. And then after they left, I asked the lady, the coffee or not, lady, they come and say, you want to drink or not? You know, drink coffee, like, not. I asked them, did they drink? They said, oh, they've been drinking since 4 p.m. Was they drink three crates? No, they drink four. Four crates of alcohol between four persons, and one crate has 12 bottles inside. You know how much money they spend, number one? I think one bottle is about $10. And then there are 48 bottles. And you know what? The ladies didn't join them, but there was another lady who was challenged by the men to drink with her. And they were laughing and, you know, having a hard time and good time and things like this. You know, we need to stay away from this kind of patterns. But mothers, do we give our children the good example of being discreet? Like how we dress, the things we put, do our daughters reflect the fashion of this world or the fashions of the Bible? And this is a very important principle. As morality goes down, mothers, you are a very key person to ensure your next generation don't grow up to become like the world. Talk like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world. Worse still, be like the world. Mothers, we need to influence our daughters for the glory of God. I'm not asking you to make them prudes. You know, prudes, some people say, if you train a daughter in this way, they're going to be useless in society. You'll be surprised at the power of godliness. What God can do with a lady who will love God. Okay? So mothers, we need to be good examples. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Mothers, don't teach your daughters to be like the world. The world is already teaching them to be like the world. You know, sometimes mothers, we may just reinforce what the world is teaching. Don't teach our daughters to be like the world. Don't teach them to dress like the world. Don't teach them principles that are wrong. To us, we want them to blend in. No, we don't want to blend in with the world. We want to be separate from the world. That's what the Bible says. Mothers, we have a choice. Do we want daughters or sons that will grow up to be strong in Christ or to be strong in the philosophies of this world? Okay? Teach them godly attributes such as faithfulness, diligence, work, prayer, and service. These are things that our daughters need to do. Okay? Our daughters and sons need to do. We need to teach them godly attitudes. You know what? Do you know how as mothers we teach them this by our example? The child will learn quicker by example if they see what we do rather than just hear what we say. And mothers, if we don't serve God, we cannot expect our daughters or sons to serve God. Okay, that's just a given. Okay? And this is very, very important. Mothers, you need to be examples to your children. The next one, mothers, we need to be disciplined. We need to give discipline. In Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth once again the mother to shame. All right, Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give thee light unto thy soul. It's a duty of mothers to be involved in the discipline of children as well. The Bible is clear here that if the child fails to behave or has a trend of misbehaviors, it's always the mother who will get worried or anxious. Not that the mother is responsible, okay? But sometimes the mothers try, if the fathers, you sabotage the process, okay, God deal with you. But ultimately, the burden of the child's behavior always rests on the mom. That's what the Bible says. Because as father, I don't care about that guy, a useless person, you just leave him alone. Fathers just don't care. But it's the mothers who carry that burden. Mothers, we need to discipline our children. The next point is, mothers, which happens all the time, mothers are sacrificial, okay? We need to sacrifice, be a characteristic of sacrifice. In Proverbs 31, verse 15, I just read some passages. Let's talk about the sacrifice of a mom. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens, okay? Number one, she always wakes up earlier than her family, all right? Either that, or she sleeps very late when all the family are sleeping already. In verse 18, she perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Now she works till late in the night. She works till late in the night. A godly mother works. It's hard working. No, ladies, don't be afraid of work. Ladies under 12, we don't have a lot. Don't be afraid of work. Be afraid to dirty your hands. That includes not just ladies. Why am I ladies? Maybe it's mothers. But sons, don't be afraid to dirty your hands to work. And mothers, don't say, he's so dirty, never mind, I do for him. No such thing, right? My children wash toilet. Pick up the hand. Wash the toilet bowl. Go in. See anything? These are, you won't, of course, you need to wash your hands after that. But these are little things that you can do. Okay, smile, Angel, smile. So, enjoy your job tonight, day. Because Mother's Day rest, so you need to wash the toilet, okay? Okay? Nothing, is there anything wrong with washing the toilet? Do you realize in some missionary society, you know how to train their missionaries? Wash the toilet. Because if you're not willing to do that, you cannot serve God in the mission field. That's your philosophy. If you are unwilling to wash the toilet, you are not fit to be on the mission field. Because the servant of God will do the lowest tasks. And parents, if you allow your children to be pampered, guess what you're going to come up with at the end? Can I encourage you, get every one of your children involved in doing something at home. And children, don't resist it when mom says so. Because mom said, Pastor, say one. Right. But you know what? Train out your children to work. Sweep the floor, clean the dishes, whatever. These are things that children need to learn to grow, to do it. And usually mothers sacrifice by doing working hard to show the family itself. Verse 21, Proverbs 31. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. The principle is she goes through the hard times for the family. I think right now we have Sister Anna. Sister Anna, let's pray for her. She's trying to hold the entire family together single-handedly. We need to pray as a church how we can encourage her there. But you know what? She is willing to go through the hard times for the family. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10, this is an interesting thing. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of the heaven, and allowed neither the birds of the air to rest on them nor the beasts of the field by night. Now, what's this verse about? Berendi's daughter, when the child is gone, a mother's heart breaks. This is the illustration in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10. Now, God recognizes that mothers love their children very much, that when they are gone, their heart literally breaks. And God records this incident down for us as children to remember the greatness of the love of a mother. Then you, as sometimes as children, we don't realize how the things we do actually breaks our parents' heart, our mother's heart. And we do it and we think it's okay, what? It's never okay to break your mother's heart. God will hold you responsible. Okay? And God wants us, God recognizes that mothers love their children so much. He puts this verse to record for us the greatness of the love of the mother. Okay? And look at Genesis 21, verse 16. And then she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it was a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." She sat over against him and lifted her voice and wept. This one refers to Ishmael. You know, the mother said, "I want to see the death of my child." How do you know Esther Ahn Kim? You know Esther Ahn Kim? The Korean Christian who was imprisoned for her faith during the Japanese occupation. As she was in prison, you know her mom does every morning? Without fail, for the many years she is in prison, the mom without fail would pray outside the walls of Pyongyang prison for her daughter in prison. She would pray until her eyes go blind. Every morning without fail, she will be at the prison walls praying for her daughter inside. Children, don't you ever despise your mom. It's a sin against God when you disobey her. And God is very serious about dealing with children who will not obey God in obeying their parents. I say that very strictly because we are growing in a generation. You go to public schools where children don't even care about authority. I'm telling you from the authority of God's word, God will deal with you, children, if you will not obey your mom after what the mom has done for you. Okay? In Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." You know how much the sacrifices mother has to make? Like, for example, last time when Esther Joy was young, Esther Joy would not be comforted until mother comes. Okay, there was one time, this is classic, there was one boy, he was autistic, he was about 5 years old, and in the church there were two ladies who looked alike. And so this particular boy was autistic, and he was running, and he was crying, and then he ran and hugged this lady who looked like the mom. And she cried, "Mommy or dad." And so the lady didn't know what happened. So he was hugging this boy. And said, "Oh, it's okay." And then the boy, and the boy ran away. Okay, found his own mother. Okay, even though you may pretend to comfort the little boy, but you know what? The boy will not be comforted until he finds his mother. Amen. Do you realize the power you have, mothers? The comfort that you can give? Because God actually uses you in an example as one whom his mother comforteth. God said, "So will I comfort you." You know, mom will stay up late all night to care for the sick baby. Children, don't you ever forget that when you were having fever and you had no chance to take care of yourself, your mom was there. Of course, sometimes the dad also lah. Don't you ever forget that. Okay, to honor your mom. The worst thing a child can do is to look at the sacrifices of a mother and then be ungrateful to her. I know we have our own needs, we have needs that we want to do, but if you are not even grateful enough to say thank you, then God help us. And finally, moms, we need to be a picture of compassion. Isaiah 49, verse 15 to 16, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of a womb?" You know what God is saying? It's not possible for a mother to forget the child. Okay, my wife, she has amazing ears. We could be doing family devotion. And then she'll say, "Hey, the baby is crying again." "What baby?" Actually, apparently there's this baby that always cries just across, about probably about 100 meters across, you know, on the next block. "God, man, I'm going to like strain our ears." "Okay, yeah, go. You know, and mothers get picked up. It's kind of like when God has built this special sensor for children's cries, only for mothers, you know. But you know, the Bible says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" Mothers never forget their children. But God says that even if a mother does, God will not. That's a reflection of his compassion. God honors the mother's love for the children and compares it with his own. Okay, in the context here, the Lord illustrates the greatness of his love, and he uses the thing that we can identify with, a mother's love. Children, you know how much mothers love us. Please don't forget that. Okay? So as we close, fathers, what do? We need to love and cooperate with our mothers as they do their best to do their duty to their children, to God, You know, so as you serve. Why? Because in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, likewise ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Fathers, we need to love and cooperate with them. Children, what do? You need to honor your parents. In other words, from today onwards, all those children below the age of 12, can you stand up? Below the age of 12, children, can you stand up? 12 and below. 12 and below. What happened? The reason why I ask you to, can you in your heart tell God from today onwards, whatever my mom tells you to do, you obey? I'm serious. To obey God. Obey your mom. Okay? Can? Alright, so it's very important. Honor and obey your parents. As we close, let's honor our parents. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know what's happening, but Lord, I ask you, ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to take control of all the situations that are happening. Lord, I'm asking your Holy Spirit to do a great work in our children's lives, that they will begin to honor God and obey their parents. Father, I'm praying for our mothers too, Lord, you will strengthen them. Help them, Father, to do your will of leading the home. Father, as husbands and fathers, help us, Father, to be an encouragement to our wives, to love them, Lord, as they should be loved. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Increase our faith. Help us to do your will. And God, thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of our mothers. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.